From NPR News in Washington, I'm Janine Herbst. The Pentagon says a new round of airstrikes by U.S. fighter jets and unmanned drones targeted Islamic militants in northern Iraq. The U.S. Central Command says the strikes destroyed armed vehicles, including one that was firing on Kurdish forces approaching the city of Erbil. Congressman Peter King told NBC's Meet the Press the U.S. cannot afford to wait before hitting the Iraqi militants harder.
Every day that goes by, ISIS builds up this caliphate, and it becomes a direct threat to the United States of America. They are more powerful now than Al-Qaeda was on 9/11.
This is the fourth round of airstrikes against Islamic State forces since the strikes were authorized by President Obama. Meanwhile, the Prime Minister of Iraq says he will file a legal complaint against the country's new president for committing a clear constitutional violation. Nouri al-Maliki says Fuad Masoum didn't name a prime minister by today's deadline, but the U.S. says it fully supports Masoum. State Department Deputy Spokeswoman Marie Harf says in a statement that the U.S. affirms its support for a process to select a prime minister who can build a national consensus. In Turkey, unofficial results show Prime Minister Recep Tayyip Erdogan making history by becoming the Republic's first elected president. NPR's Peter Kenyon reports from Istanbul that Erdogan appears to have gained over 50% of the vote against two rivals, avoiding a runoff.
The results won't be official before Monday, if not later, but Erdogan's party, the AKP, declared their man the victor a few hours after the polls closed. On paper, the job shift suggests a big demotion in power. Turkey's president has traditionally been a nonpartisan, largely ceremonial figure. But the prime minister has already made clear his intent to expand presidential powers, possibly signaling a dramatic change in Turkey's system of governance. Erdogan vastly outspent his two rivals and received the lion's share of media time, especially among pro-government or state-run outlets. But to establish a strong executive, he'll need the support of two-thirds of the parliament, a supermajority that has proved elusive in the past. Peter Kenyon, NPR News, Istanbul.
The Justice Department is monitoring the shooting of a black teenager by a police officer in St. Louis. St. Louis Public Radio's Camille Phillips reports that police continue their investigation.
County police have not released the name of the officer who shot unarmed 18-year-old Michael Brown. St. Louis County Police Chief John Belmar says the shooting was preceded by a physical confrontation instigated by Brown and another unidentified young man. According to Belmar, Brown shoved the officer into the police car where the two fought for the officer's gun. Brown was shot several times outside of the car, but Belmar wouldn't say whether Brown was fleeing at the time of the shooting.
I don't want to do anything that would ever prejudice this case on either side of it.
The officer has been on administrative leave with pay. For NPR News, I'm Camille Phillips in St. Louis.
Rory McIlroy has won the PGA Championship at Valhalla for the second straight major and the fourth overall win. This is NPR News. Another 72-hour ceasefire has been agreed to by Hamas and Israel, and it's underway now. If it lasts, it will clear the way for the resumption of indirect talks in Cairo on a long-term ceasefire arrangement. Egypt brokered similar talks last week, but the truce ended Friday when Hamas resumed firing on Israel, and Israel responded. Mounting tensions between China and its smaller neighbors over maritime disputes have Secretary of State John Kerry urging all sides to peacefully resolve the issue. Speaking to the foreign ministers of China and the 10 members of the Association of the Southeast Asian Nations in Myanmar, also known as Burma, today, Kerry says nations must make clear their territorial claims in the South China Sea. In Hawaii, a historical upset in the primary, an incumbent Democratic governor was defeated for the first time. Wayne Yoshioka from Hawaii Public Radio has more.
State Senator David Ige entered the race for governor 6 months ago, barely known beyond his Senate district. He faced incumbent Governor Neil Abercrombie, a former 10-term congressman with 10 times the amount in campaign financing. Ige prevailed with a more than 2-to-1 margin of victory.
I definitely was surprised. We thought that we would be victorious, but we were surprised by the margin.
Ige now heads to the general election in November. For NPR News, I'm Wayne Yoshioka in Honolulu.
Hurricane Julio continues to move away from Hawaii. The National Weather Service says it's unlikely to pose a threat to the island chain. It comes on the heels of Tropical Storm Izel. Forecasters say Julio, though, will bring more hot and muggy weather. I'm Janine Herbst, NPR News in Washington.